Blog Talk Radio.
But my heart chases after thee. How shall I draw you close?
till there's no more me, only you. I know I got a long way to go, but I'm moving closer.
Amen. Praise God. I love that song, Draw Nigh. Amen. By Fred Hammond. Praise ye the Lord. Irva Toff, good evening, and how are you? I am your brother in the Lord. Amen. Apostle Renaldo Wade. And this evening, we will be speaking with Apostle Michelle Toussaint from Praise, from Seek First, excuse me, from Seek Ye First, Seek Ye First, the Kingdom of God Ministries in Palm Coast, Florida. So you might not want to miss that. So we are excited to have her speak about the psyche of the Kingdom of God. So we want to have the mindset of Christ. What does it mean to have the mindset? What does it mean to be under the peace of the Lord? We will look into that tonight, as Apostle Toussaint bring us another rhema word from the Lord concerning the mindset of Christ. So she will be up in just a few minutes. After we play another praise and worship song, we're going to go into a word of prayer. We have some announcements to make tomorrow at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Talk, Teach, and Testify will be welcoming back Apostle Demetrius Burke Sr. from North Carolina. So he will be back in. That will be on Saturday. On Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will have Apostle Loretta Butterfield from the Bahamas. So she will be in for part two of her message. That will be on Sunday, March the 10th. Amen. March the 11th, we will have on Monday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will have Apostle Tammy Robinson, amen, from Tampa, Florida. And then yours truly, Apostle Renaldo Wade, will be speaking on Tuesday, amen, in regards to the new Hebrewic month that we are going to go into. It's very exciting, and we need to be rejoicing for what the Lord is going to do for us and what he is already doing with us in this season and with the new month. So you're not going to want to miss that. So let's go to another song, amen, and then we will go into a word of prayer. This one is by Smokey Nofo. It's called Justified, because you are justified in the Lord. Amen. Here it is, Justified by Smokey Nofo on Talk, Teach, and Testify Ministries.
I've been made free
despite my enemy. Yes, I am.
Yes, he did.
I've been made free. Thank you, Lord. Despite the enemy.
Listen.
I love this verse. Listen.
If my sins had their way, I never would have made it with a debt I just couldn't afford to pay. He came and saved me when the enemy said that I couldn't. God said, go ahead, because you're covered by my awesome, awesome, powerful blood. His grace and His mercy, they watch over me all night long. If it had not been, 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 if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side. Hey, listen, I got some testimonies, listen. Just like Nineveh that was headed for destruction, God stepped in and He said,
not guilt.
You're gonna live and you won't see the day of destruction. Just like Daniel, who was condemned to the lion, then God said,
not guilt.
You're gonna live. Just like David, who was dearly beloved in spite of, God said,
not guilt.
If it had been for the grace of God, you would have been, you could have been. Yeah, listen. Hey, to the liar,
not guilt.
To the cheater,
not guilt.
To the deceiver,
not guilt.
Even to the believer,
not guilt.
There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Praise ye the Lord. That was Smokey Nofo and Justified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go into a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and bring on our guests for this evening. Amen. Heavenly Father, Abba Father, we come to you now in the name of our Lord and personal Savior, Yahushua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come to you, Lord, touching in agreement, Lord. Touching heaven and earth, and you said, Lord, it will be done, Lord. And Heavenly Father, we would love for you, Lord, to apply the blood of Yahusha on this line this evening. Lord, please forgive us, Lord, of all of our sins, our iniquities, our trespasses, and transgressions. And Lord, cleanse us, Lord, as you cover them, Lord, with the blood of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray to you this evening that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you in advance that every tongue and every word that rises against us in judgment, you shall condemn. Heavenly Father, we also praise you in advance, Abba Father, that this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord and that our righteousness is only from you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through you, Lord. Through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against your knowledge, Lord, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pull down every demonic stronghold this evening, doubt, confusion that's in our minds and in the minds of those we pray for today, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pull down every vain imagination. We pull it down now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, hear our cries, Lord, to our prayers this evening. From the end of the earth, Lord, we will cry unto you, Lord. When our heart is overwhelmed, lead us, Lord, to the rock that is higher than us, which is you. And Lord, you have been a shelter for us, Lord. You've been a strong tower from the enemy for us, Lord. Heavenly Father, we will abide in your tabernacle forever. We will trust, Lord, in the shelter of your wings. For you, Abba, Father, Yahuwah, have heard our vows. You have given us the inheritance and the heritage of those who fear your name. Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, to let us abide with you forever, Lord, and prepare mercy and truth, Lord, which may preserve us, Lord. We sing praises to your name, Lord, and we will daily perform our vows, Lord, to you. Heavenly Father, touch, Lord, your daughter on tonight, Lord. Heavenly Father, place your hand over her mouth so that, Heavenly Father, she will only speak your righteousness. Lord, use her in a mighty way this evening, Lord, in the name of Yahusha. And Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you and we praise you in advance as we learn about your kingdom. Continue to give us the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, Lord, of the divine revelation and the full manifestation of your will and your purpose for your kingdom. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, we definitely give you all the praise. And Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, we magnify your name, we exalt your name, Yah. And all of this we do ask and pray in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. I'm glad that everyone is here by divine appointment. Amen. Last time, amen, our guest came on, such a powerful message that we learned about the psyche of the kingdom of God. She is coming back to do another segment. Another segment of the psyche of the kingdom of the Lord. So without no further ado, we will go ahead and bring her back on the air. So give her a talk, teach, and testify. Welcome back and a hallelujah, amen, to my twin sister in the Lord, amen, Apostle Michelle Toussaint. Good evening. How are you?
I am blessed, twin. I am blessed, Apostle. It's good to be on again with you on Blog Radio, but all is well. Amen.
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 Amen. I am excited to have you back on the air, and a lot of people really did not understand the psyche, amen, of the kingdom of God. You know, you have to have on the mind of Christ. You're supposed to be able to walk on this earth, amen, in peace and in harmony and in one with the Lord. And, you know, a lot of people was asking since the last time you came on, you know, for books and things of that nature. And we'll get more to that later because a lot of people also were saying, when is that tour coming to their city? So it was a very thorough teaching, amen, that the Lord had presented unto you and used through your vessel. And we're just grateful and we're just praising him for that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and step aside and I'm going to, amen, the Lord is telling me now to, you know, he's going to now use you and he's going to have his way with you. And glory to God, I am so excited for this teaching that's coming forth. Amen. Glory to his name. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, kingdom citizens. It is awesome to be on again with you, Apostle, and all those that are calling in. When I did the first part, unfortunately, I did do some disservice in the sense that this is a lot of in-depth teaching. So it was superficial in the sense that there is so much that we need to deal with in the body of Christ, meaning, you know, what I have seen in the body of Christ, and it's really for the people, but it will also help leaders. Because what's happening is, as leaders, we're being worn down, we're tired, we're ministering, we're prophesying, we're laying hands on the people, they're shouting, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're getting up, and then you see them still living the same type of lifestyle. And then if you do a little research, you're like, okay, well, their mindset hasn't changed. I just told this man or woman of God that God called them to the nations, but they keep repeating the same cycles in their life. And so one night in Bible study, I had had reached a point in ministry personally that I became discouraged because, you know, I was rebuking the people, I was chastising, I was encouraging, I did all that in love. And I'm like, Lord, why are not they not getting it? And the Lord began to open up my eyes in the spirit and show me that their minds have not changed. And we see this, man of God, in the body of Christ. I'm blessed and highly favored. And so it's like the Lord said, our lips, you know, we say with our lips, but our heart is far from him. So when we're also saying I'm blessed and highly favored, do we really believe that? And so what's happened is we're getting saved. The saints are getting saved. Their spirits are renewed, but their souls have not been renewed. And so as leaders in the body of Christ, we seem to be pulling and pulling and struggling and being frustrated because what's happening is a lot, and we, and not so much the kingdom-minded ministries, nevertheless, there are so many cliches out there. You know, you get saved Monday, learn how to be prosperous by Wednesday, and you'll get your house, car, and your husband by Saturday. One of the mandates on a kingdom ministry, or even, let me say, a kingdom-minded ministry, is that first, when the person has been saved, their spirit has been renewed, now let's start dealing with their psyche. Because a lot of people are coming from dysfunctional family backgrounds. They've had word curses spoken over their lives, and we understand that death and life is in the power of the tongue. We first need to deal with the soul man, their psyche. Once we get a hold of them and understand, according to Romans 12 and 2, that they'll be transformed, they're not conformed to the things of this world, but their minds are being transformed by their renewing. So now they're putting away carnal things because we understand that the carnal man cannot comprehend the things of the spirit. So we're ministering to people and they're not understanding. Why? Because their souls have not been renewed. Amen? Because a carnal-minded man, the carnal psyche of a man, cannot understand the spiritual things. And so it is important when we have babes in Christ coming in that the first project we have to do is get them to a kingdom mindset. And as God is taking me deeper in this teaching, it is so profound, I understand more why he gave me the name of this ministry. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, we're seeking everything else, but we're not seeking the mindset of Christ. Let this mind be in you, as it also in Christ Jesus. So for those prosperity preachers out there that want to probably try to take my life, I'm not saying that you can't be prosperous, but the first mandated responsibility as a leader is to begin to break down the fallow ground of people's souls. We are the watchmen of what? Souls. And so we have to make sure that people that are coming in get the kingdom mindset and its righteousness. And then all these other things, the house, the car, the land, the cat, the rat, will be added unto you. Amen? And so one of the things is that what do we deal with? We deal with low self-esteem in the church. We deal with insecurity. We deal with all of these things. You know, I can't do this. I'm too that. I'm too this. I can't preach. I can't do that. I can't do this. But we have to understand that God breathed his ruach breath into man, and man became a living psyche. In the Hebrew, the nefesh, they became a living soul. And so when God breathed into us that we should have the mind of Christ. So what happened in the Garden of Eden was the fall of man was a fall of man's soul. When Adam and Eve did what they did in the Garden of Eden, there was a separation that man did not no longer understand or have the full knowledge of who God is. Like Adam and Eve, they understood. So what Jesus did, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And what the Lord wants us to do is reconcile first our souls back to the knowledge of who God is. Because if we truly know who God is in our minds, then there's a lot of foolishness that we have experienced as leaders and as laity have experienced that should not be happening. if we're really understanding our minds and we have a comprehension and our minds have been reconciled back to the knowledge of who God is, then we would not be going through so many things that we're going through in the church. Amen. And so, man of God, I don't want to get too carried away. I didn't know if you had any questions, but it is imperative in this hour, if you do not, people do not get a kingdom mindset, then what will happen is, I'm not saying that they won't make it in, but you will never have the fullness of who God is in the earth. I don't want to learn about him in the by and by. I understand that. But I also want to have that life and have that life more abundantly here in the earth. In 3 John, chapter 1 and 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And so in this letter, he was saying, "Beloved, I wish above all things, this is my heart's desire for you, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So you're seeing three parts here. You're seeing that you prosper in your finances, in your health, and in your soul. If your soul has not been renewed, how are you going to be able to maintain and sustain your what God has given you, or even your deliverance? We see that in when the children came out of Egypt. They were in the wilderness after they seen all the miracles. Amen. The Bible declares that they raised up a captain in one day, and they said it would have been better for us if we had stayed in Egypt. So what they were saying was, I'd rather be in bondage than be out here in the wilderness. See, their bodies had transitioned. Amen. Their spirit man had transitioned, but their souls had not been transitioned yet. And, you know, there's a saying in the world, you could take somebody out of the ghetto, but you cannot get the ghetto out of that person. And so I want to use this as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. So when you take somebody out of a bondage situation or environment or mindset, you take them out of where they used to be. Amen. They came from darkness into the marvelous light. But there is a process that their soul has to go through, because what will happen, they will go back into the same bondage again, because that's all that they've been familiar with. That's why we see battered women. You could take them out, help them, give them money, and what do? They go back to the abuser, because there's something in their soul that has to be delivered and set free. Amen. Hello.
Amen. I'm just listening to you. I just have to, you know. Amen. I don't interrupt. I just let the Lord flow through you. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I didn't know if you wanted to interject and add, so want to take over.
Oh no. The Lord is, amen. You know, he has took over. Amen. So go ahead and speak, and I will interject. Amen. When the Lord tells me I should, amen. But amen. Just go ahead and flow. Hallelujah. It's interesting. Glory.
Amen. And so one of the scriptures that I have been studying is Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 16 through 21. And we know this is a parable. It's a little bit different than all the other parables, but nevertheless, here's the parable of a rich fool. But I'm going to start at verse number 16 and just to verse 21, just 5 simple verses. And here it says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." Listen to verse number 19. "And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided. So is he that laid up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. And here in this particular passage, like I said, it is a parable, and it's a parable of concerning a rich man that had grown in stature, we'll say, and even in riches, in natural riches, and he became to be prosperous, amen, and he was in good health. But his soul had not prospered, because what happened here, he had a barn. He was given provision. This was the barn that was given to him. Now, let me take you a little deeper. This barn, let's say this particular barn was actually something that God had provided. God made him plentiful. He made him fruitful. The Bible even declares that he will give you so much that you will have no room to receive. Amen? And so this is what happened to this rich in this parable, this rich man, but he was a fool, because what he did, he tore down the very thing in his mind, he tore down the very thing that God had given him and tried to increase it. Instead of him taking the fruit and the plentifulness of what God gave him and replenishing and giving to the poor and giving to the needy and giving to this, that, and the other, what he decided to do was increase his own barn, not realize God had already made him rich. God had already established him, but the spirit of, I would say, covetousness came because he wanted more. And this is what we're seeing, the condition in the body of Christ. A lot of people, and I've seen this on TBN, and I've seen it on several different channels, and I've seen preachers preach it, get more, get more, get more. And so now the souls of God's people have been tarnished by a false ideology. It was never that he was supposed to tear the barn down, because it says here that he was already wealthy. He was to take the wealth, amen, and to help expand the kingdom. This is the thing right here. His mind was not in correlation with the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ says that I must expand the kingdom. Amen. In the NIV, the Bible declares that we are to forcefully advance. There was no advancement here. Amen. And a lot of souls that were pure in the beginning of their salvation, because of the ideology or the doctrine that's being indoctrinated into people's souls, it's all about me, myself, and I. This is the condition of the church right now. And what we have to do is bring the souls of God's remnant. And if you notice, I said remnant, amen? Because the Bible also clearly states no one can come unto the Father except the Spirit draw them. So those that are his, that are out there, that are crying out for a deliverer, that are seeking more to God, saying, Lord, there is more, there has to be more, amen? So what we have to do is now indoctrinate their souls with the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He spoke to his soul. Amen. In verse number 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. This is what we're seeing in the body of Christ. This man was talking to his mind and telling his psyche that, oh my goodness, you have arrived. You come to a place that, oh, this is it. But that doesn't mean anything to God. Because when you skip down to verse number 21, it says here clearly, so is he that lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. This is what Jesus was saying. That even though this man had natural riches, even though this man was prosperous and very wealthy, had need for nothing, he said in verse number 21, and is not rich towards God. The richness of the soul of man is having a kingdom mindset. Amen. Having a kingdom mindset. That is the richness of God, and we're being taught that the richness of God is in materialism, not so. 3 John 1:2, he said, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul. Here in this parable, you do not see the man's soul being prosperous. And so that's why Jesus said in verse 21, and is not rich toward God. So your mind is not wealthy. Your mind is not, it is not conducive. Your mind is not thinking. A healthy mindset, or and not or, but and a kingdom mindset means that you are thinking about what can I do next to advance the ministry? What can I do to push the ministry that I'm in? What can I do to finance the ministry so my pastor does not have to pay for the radio? What do I have to do to advance it? And you're wealthy. Oh, let me put the pastor on television, not for fame, but to advance the wisdom keys or the wisdom nuggets that he imparted into me. What is it that I can do to put him on a plane so he can travel, amen, over to England, amen? What is it I can do to advance the kingdom in this region? What is it that I need to do? And that is a kingdom mindset. And the mindset goes to the psyche. When we as leaders, and, you know, they laugh at me all the time, but we as leaders have to be spiritual psychologists. Amen. Because when people come in, we got to psychoanalyze every individual. Why? Because you'll get a young man that's struggling with his sexuality. Amen. Because he was molested, so he doesn't know which way to go. Then we have a young girl that never had a father. Then we have children, amen, that are raised by their grandparents. So we have to psychoanalyze every individual and find a way to begin to impart and minister so now they will have a hunger and a thirst for a kingdom mindset. They won't pursue these other things because they already understand it will be added. You will get the five-bedroom house. I have nothing against it, and neither does God. But what we're saying is that if God gives you a husband and your psyche is not right, you're not going to be able to maintain that relationship. And if you do, you're going to take that man of God or that woman of God through unnecessary natural and spiritual warfare because your psyche was not ready. It was not able to encompass what God wanted to give you. And there's a lot of people, and I had a young lady, I ministered to her, and at the time there was people promoting her going out and because she can sing to get an album. She was about to sign with a reputable gospel album company. And I told her, and she was so upset with me, I said, you know what, I bind that up right now. You will not get an album contract. You will not destroy other women's lives until you have been delivered and set free. See, people were pushing her out there before her time. They were pushing her out there, but she was still promiscuous. She was still operating in perversion. She was living a certain life because she had been raped multiple times, and nobody took the time to deal with her psyche. And so we release people into things that they're not ready because psychologically their mind cannot handle this. Amen? And so your spirit will be good, but your mind is far from the knowledge of who God really is. And we need to teach people the mind of God. Amen? Once we begin to teach people to have the mind of Christ, then everything will fall into line for them. Amen? And I believe some people have acquired things illegally, but it will not last because God was never in it. And plus, psychologically or their psyche cannot handle it. So eventually, they will mess it up or it will just dwindle through their fingers. Now, when we look at the word psyche, you know, it's interesting because people were like, well, you know, that's not in the Bible, but when you look at the word soul, soul in its original intent in Greek is psuche or psyche. Amen. And so now what we have to do is a lot of people are coming in and they're sick in their minds. They're sick in their minds. So what a psychologist does is they go ahead and they talk to you, like I said earlier, I made mention of this, and they deal with your emotional imbalance. They deal with your bipolarism. They deal with your up and downs. And what we have to do is get the word in you. We got to get the word in you. Amen. We have to make sure that as we get the word in you, we have to see healing taking place in your soul, telling you that you are something, because somewhere along your life, somebody spoke word curses. You'll never be nothing. So guess what? Your psyche believed it. And so now you're 20, 30 years old and you are sincere. You want to do ministry. You know you've been called. You want to do what God's called you. But every time you take a step forward, you freeze in fear. Why? And then you always rehearse what was spoken to you. You'll never be nothing. So guess what? The Bible declares that the world was framed by the word of God. And so we have to understand that death and life is in the power of the tongue. So we have the power, death and life. So somebody spoke death over your psyche. And so even when you desire to do good, desire to move forward, the fear of I'll never be good, the fear is, or the fear I cannot articulate, the fear is I cannot preach, or the fear is, oh, I was always told that I was stupid, so I don't know the word. I can't comprehend the scriptures like sister over there. So what we have to do is begin to speak life into the psyche of the individual. You shall get comprehension. I command your soul to come in alignment with the word of God. Because when you begin to speak the word of God into somebody's psyche, what actually takes place is their soul begins to take formation. What is the formation? It takes the formation of the word of God. I use this as an example. I hate algebra. It's what I used to say.
Okay.
I failed algebra three times in college. But when I begin to speak life over my soul, I can do all things. My soul began to take on the formation of what I was saying. And then the last class I took, I got a B+.
Mm.
Amen?
Amen.
Go ahead, man of God.
No, I'm just saying that I love what you're saying, in which people have to have their minds conditioned for kingdom living. A
Absolutely.
Lot of people nowadays are saying that they are living kingdom, but, you know, their fruits are showing otherwise, you know, and, you know, they still have that poverty mindset. Living in poverty is nothing but living something that, you know, God does not want you to live in. You know, he said, you know, he gave us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, you know, and we are supposed to put our works and our faith into it. You know, all of that goes into having that psyche mindset. When we read Romans chapter 12, verse 2, you know, when Paul was writing to the church of Rome, and he said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is a, he's talking about the psyche. Amen.
Yes, he is.
You know, not having the mindset of this society, of this world, but rather have the mindset of Christ on. You know, we're supposed to have the faith of God. Now, if you have the faith of God, you know, you could do all things through Christ which strengthens you. That's in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. So, you know, people, you know, they go into situations and, yes, they pray unto the Lord. And by the way, praying is not wishing for something. Prayer is nothing but the Lord giving you an update as to what's going on in the atmosphere. So a lot of people don't know that. They go in and they're praying under fleshly pretenses without praying in the spirit. Because, you know, we have to worship him, you know, in spirit and in truth. So I love what you're speaking thus far about, you know, the mindset, the psyche that you have to have. It has to be a renewing. It got to be a transformation. It has to be a translation, amen, of your mind shifting from a natural mindset to a spiritual mindset. Hallelujah.
Hey, you know what, man? And Apostle, you said something so profound, and I'm going to ask this question, I'm going to answer it, but I want the listeners and to meditate on this. Is it better to be a man that's filthy rich, let's say a multimillionaire, and you're a multimillionaire, are you considered to be rich? Or is it a man that may not have any material things to show for himself, and he doesn't have a pot to, and a window to throw it out in, which one is the richer individual? Is it the man that has the $5 million house, or is it the man that has nothing to show materialistically right now in his present state? Which is the richest one? Okay.
That's good.
You look at verse number 21, it answers it. Verse 21, the parable, Jesus speaking in red, it says, so is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So the man that has a kingdom mindset but does not have a multi-million dollar house, has no car, and is taking a city bus, is richer than the man that is sitting up in the house with servants, butlers, and all of that stuff. Oh, my. So what we have done is polluted. It's a polluted mindset because we do this in the church, man of God. I've seen it. I've seen the disparity where a person could come in and they have nothing to show for. God forbid if you say you're an apostle and a prophet, and we're not even going to talk about what they have to go through. But if you say you're an apostle and prophet and you don't have no materialistic thing, oh, well, you don't have a car, so you're not rich. But he said in verse 21, this man is not rich towards God. So it is the man that's sitting up in his mother's house trying to start his ministry. I'm speaking to somebody today.
Yes.
I don't care if you're living in your mother's house. I don't care if you're living in your cousin's house. I don't care if you're a prophet or an apostle and you're laying on the floor in somebody's house. As long as you are advancing the kingdom of heaven, you are richer than that prophet that's preaching all over this nation and no lives are being changed.
Hallelujah.
Because we're pulling down every stronghold. Hey, Roboshata, excuse me. We're pulling down every stronghold and every imagination that exalts itself up against the knowledge. See, what's happened is we have exalted this prosperity ministry and made it an altar in the soul of the saints to make them feel like if I don't have this, like Susie Okido, that I am not rich. When he said, beloved, I wish above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. And so what's happened is I'm speaking to you that I don't care what your finances, I don't care if you're unemployed. If you are advancing the kingdom of heaven, you are more wealthy and you are richer. And if you hold on, because he said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's why we're in so much warfare, because I'm teaching people to seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the mindset of God, Romans 12:2, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. What do you mean? Because he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent, if God said it. But see, we have to understand that his thoughts, it's not like our thoughts. His psyche is above our psyche. And so we think that, oh, we have to have this. God first wants you to start small. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. He told them in the book of Deuteronomy, he told the Israelites, I allowed you to go hungry. So what I'm saying is there's an indictment. How dare you judge somebody's situation? Because he said in Deuteronomy, I allowed the Israelites to go hungry to show them what was in their own heart.
Yes.
God will allow us to go through certain series in our lives. And just like Job, it wasn't that because we sinned. It wasn't because we did anything, but he had to show us something. And so if you look at a preacher and they're struggling and got one pair of shoes, if you have a kingdom mindset, won't you buy that individual's shoes? Because their mind is set on the things above. The things above is the kingdom. And so God says this. So the question again is, who is richer? The man that said he's a Christian and loves God, sitting up in a $5 million house and just expanded, added three more rooms and a cabana in a back and a tennis court, because that's what happened with the barn, where I'm just moving it into this era. So, because, you know, we don't have barns now in that sense. So now the man had a $5 million home. Now he went and got a $10 million home. And you have a brother right in your church. Ooh, good God Almighty. You got somebody right in your church that you know love the Lord. And what you do, you went and tore down whatever God gave you and made it greater. And so the man that is struggling but preaching the gospel, don't always get an honorarium. Get beat and bruised. And when I say being bruised, not physically, but go and speak to churches and people don't pay them. They are not honored. Amen. They're getting 20 cents here and 50 cents for rich teaching. Amen. They're releasing revelation from heaven. But even in that, there's people that he's impacting and infecting with the kingdom. He is more richer than the one sitting in church with all that money.
Amen. Amen. I agree with that. When the scripture says the things that are seen is temporal and the things that are not seen is eternal, that's the kingdom mindset.
That's right, because you're not always going to see it. You're not going to see. If you have a kingdom mindset, you look beyond what's going on in the natural. Lord, how am I going to do this? Lord, how am I going to preach? How am I going to do this? How am I going to put this together? How am I going to help your people? You look beyond that because your kingdom mindset says as you're seeking the kingdom that he will add all these things to you. Amen? So you don't have to worry about all that. You just have to worry that you're advancing the kingdom of God, because when you get that psyche of Christ, then you are more richer than all the material possessions in the world.
Amen. Amen.
So we have to understand, and then what are, you know, and then even with pulling down every stronghold and every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What we have done is, and I've seen in this church, and when I say we, because I don't want to finger point, I don't want people to say I'm talking about this ministry, so I say we, but and there's a difference between the, you know, so I want to be careful with that. Nevertheless, we all have experienced it or have seen it, but when you, the imagination exalts itself is saying that if you don't have this, then you are not rich. If you don't have this, then you are not successful. And that is not doctrinally true. And what happens is that's why the kingdom has to be incorporated in the mind. And the apostolic, what it does is begin to tear down erroneous doctrine. Because a lot of these teachings are erroneous. So people will say, well, you know, the Bible says that God wants us to prosper. But what we have done is we put prosperity above a relationship with God. First get the wealth and money and then have a relationship. No, he says, I want you to have a mind of Christ. And in order to have a mindset of Christ, what does that mean? We have to have a relationship. It's like a husband and a wife. That's what Jesus said. You're my bride and I am the bridegroom. What that means is, so when you're talking to the queen, man of God, or when a man or a woman are talking against that are married, amen, legally, what happens is she'll begin to finish his sentences, and he'll begin to finish her sentences. Amen?
That's good.
So you already have the mindset of your partner, because the Bible declares that he will cleave unto his wife, and two shall become one. And so what happens is when you become the bride of Christ and have the mindset of the bride, good God Almighty, what happens is you start thinking like the bridegroom. Who's our covering? Come on now, Apostle.
Amen.
Who is our covering? Jesus Christ. And because he's our covering, he covers what? Our soul. He sits above our heads. He covers us. We start thinking like him.
Yeah.
We have this big, I call it an epidemic. We sold these braces. What would Jesus do? This is a revelation God gave me, WWJD.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
When we get the mindset of Christ, we no longer have to ask what would Jesus do. We begin to do what Jesus would do, not ask what he would do, but we would begin to be him in the flesh, amen? And so we have to understand, when we are in a relationship, our minds will be conformed.
Amen.
You will say what the partner says. Think about it. Since you've been married and all those have been married, you know, at first you had little, you know, issues. You know, you did certain things a certain way. She did things a certain way. Now you're starting to act and do certain things that's not you. But now you've been with each other long enough, and even as the years go by, you will begin to do what the other person does. It's natural to you. And you'll catch yourself. This is what God showed me. Well, a husband and a wife, what you'll do is you'll do something and you'll catch yourself. Well, I don't put the ketchup in the refrigerator. But now I'm putting it in the refrigerator because you had the mindset of your partner. Amen.
Right. Amen.
And it comes, the psyche of the kingdom always will come down to relationship. Because there's so much men of God. And
yeah.
But the psyche, the foundation or the fundamental truth of any person having the mind of Christ will be through relationship. How can you know what somebody's thinking if you're not in relationship with them?
Yes.
You can't go by what other people say. And that's what's happening in the church. That's good. We're going by what other people say about Christ. Won't you get in a relationship with him and find out for yourself?
Amen.
What he's thinking. Who can know what's on the mind of Christ except through the Holy Spirit?
Mm.
So instead of, and I'm not against prophets, you know, prophecy, but we have raised up prophetic junkies. That's what I call them. They get a fix. What is the Lord saying? I see it in this region. You always see the same people at different conferences, always at different eating from anything and everything. But when are we going to get to a secret place, Psalm 91, and abide under the shadow of the Almighty and let him cover you and minister to you so he will tell you himself what is on his mind? That's why he loved Moses so much. He said, the people seek my hand, but Moses seek to know what was on my mind.
Right.
Relationship.
Mm. Yes.
We need to go back to the fundamental principles of relationship with Christ. I'm telling you, you do that, you put a lot of prophets out of business. You put
Amen.
A lot of them out of business. At least the false ones. The real ones, we still need the prophets, amen? But we'll put the false ones out of business because what will happen is you'll know the Spirit by the Spirit.
Yes.
We'll put a lot of false teachers out of business, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because
amen.
We have studied ourselves to show ourselves approved unto God, not man. We'll put preachers out of business, amen? Because we'll say, that's not the word. We no longer will be tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine.
Amen.
Because our psyche has been reconciled back to God's original intent in the Garden of Eden.
Amen. Good teaching. Good teaching. Amen. Keep going. Hallelujah. Keep going. Yes. You know, I want to eat too. Amen. You know, praise God. You know, a lot of times I distribute, you know, a lot of word, but tonight I'm eating tonight. Amen.
I see that, Apostle. Usually we would interact, but
yes, I'm Amen. I'm doing more listening today. Hallelujah.
You know, in 1 Corinthians 15 and 4, Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a living, life-giving spirit. When we get the psyche of Christ, we have now, he's given us the life-giving spirit. He's giving us life. And that life more abundantly. Jesus said that I have come that you would have, the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have that life more abundantly. What he was referring to is that rich mindset. the rich mindset of God, you know, that I can do whatever God's called me to do. In an apostolic ministry, you will raise up businessmen. You'll raise up apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, bishops, elders, all of those things. You can believe what God is saying. Because what's happening also, man of God, too, there are people that are out there that God has called to the nations, but their psyche is so messed up. They don't believe what God says, so they have rejected the truth.
That's good.
Yeah, the soul has rejected the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I could sit here and prophesy to that individual. I've had that happen. I could prophesy, God's going to call you in. I'm talking about God is speaking from the throne room. You almost feel the earth shaking, and you feel the presence of God. And that person will walk away, and within 24 hours they'll say, oh, I don't know if God will use me. You have rejected the truth. And so that's why we have to cast down every thought and every imagination. You got to pull these strong. See, the strong man starts first in the mind. Let me help you out. It says, pull down every imagination and every pull down every stronghold and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So the strong man is in the soul or in the psyche of an individual. Amen. And so what happens is what a man thinking in his heart, so is he. And then what you think begins to affect your environment. So what do you mean? What happens is, let's say I'm going to use this just to make everybody laugh. You're a backbiter, okay? So that's how you are. You just think you're a backbiter and you're a chronic liar. What will happen now is your environment will become conducive to who you are. Then what that means, it means now you attract people of your own kind. Amen? And so now you have two or three people in a clique, and that clique keeps growing because it's a familiar spirit. And now what happened is you start off with one person. Now that whole region is infected by the spirit of lying and deception. For example, when you go into the, and I hate to say it like this, and I pray nobody gets offended, but when you go into the project, you have a lot of people that have gotten together because they have the same mindset. Look at it in a large church or even in a church setting. You could see people coming in and they automatically gravitate towards certain people because the strong man in your soul identifies with the strong man in their soul. That's what you call familiar spirit.
Uh-huh.
So you seen it. You can.
Yes.
I always tell people I could tell a lot about you by who you hang around with. And I'm not talking about association, but I'm talking about intimate. So, for example, if you call me twin, and this is for the listeners because I know you understand, this is for your listeners, people that you call, because, you call me twin, I call you twin. So people automatically that don't know me will be like, okay, Apostle calls her twin.
Yes.
And so that means that she operates in a teaching anointing.
Yes.
Because Apostle is not going to be connected to anybody that's crazy, and I hate to say this word, stupid in the kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Because kingdom attracts what?
Kingdom. Amen. Praise God.
The strong man that's in me, which is the mind of Christ, is going to attract the strong man that's in you, that's submitted and has Christ as their covering. And then what happens is then we skip over to Amos, the book of Amos. How can two, and I'm paraphrasing, walk together except they be in agreement?
Right.
So if I do not have the same psyche as you do, it will be like putting oil in water. It will automatically separate.
Yes.
So the strong man begins to infect regions. If you have a rebellious person, then they're going to attract rebellious people. And then the rebellious people is because it's God, the commandment was given. We will be fruitful and multiply, good or evil. And so now that's why we, listen to me, those that are listening, that's why you could go into a region. We're still dealing with the psyche, and you will deal with the spirit of witchcraft.
Uh-huh.
Because witches from near and far have come together and begin to take abode. We have a place known here, and it is nationally known, and you can look it up in the internet. It's called Casadega. And it is a world-renowned coven for witches. It's 45 minutes away from here. I've been there on multiple occasions. And when you walk throughout the whole entire city, you have palm readers. This man purchased over 100 acres of land, and it's for witches. They have training. The witches even have a hotel, and it's really nice, too. They have medium training. They have all this training. So the strong man ooze out of your mind and begin to affect and infect the region.
Mm.
It first started with an individual. That's why in regions you have witchcraft. In another region you have murder, because the generational curse was on any individual, and there was always a lot of deaths in their family. And then they connect with somebody that had the same situation, and now they get together and you see a high murder rate. Good God. And so that strong man starts in their mind, that familiarity, that familiar spirit, the soul. It's called the soul tie. Your soul begins to knit and tie with people, and you don't even realize it. That's why a woman will go from man to man and to man, and they will all dog her out. You've heard this man, God, I cannot find a good man. All my life I've been with horrible men, because the strong man in you attracts. A doggish man could come to any church and identify who you could pull out of the church.
Uh-huh.
It's a psyche.
Yes.
You're a psyche, and I'm sure you want to say something. I want to say this. We all need healing, because then God showed me some things about me. I thought I did cry, because I'm like, oh, my God, but because of what I went through. But I want to share this. You will only attract what you think of yourself.
That's it. That's good. That's
Amen.
It. Amen.
Whether you realize it or not, go ahead, sir.
In Proverbs 26, when we read that, and also when we read, when Shlomo writes, so as a man think of in his heart, so is he. You know, they attract those who, praise God, they attract those, who are within themselves. You see that a lot in the church today. You see a lot of rebellion. It's because you do have an instigator who was there to start off with their rebellion. And then they see later on, well, okay, this person is rebelling and, they're getting away with it. We're going to do the same thing. You see a lot of that in the body of Christ today, a lot of rebellion. Amen. And like you were saying, it'll start from that rebellious spirit. Remember, when we read the Bible and we read about David's, David's son or Solomon's son? And what happens is that, he attracted everybody with the looks. As a matter of fact, it was David's son, and he attracted everybody, amen, and, the mindset that he had was, flat out, I'm going to rebel against my father because he did not do anything as my sister was raped by my brother. Amen. So, a lot of people, their mindset, I want to learn more about the kingdom, but then they have to get that mindset, they have to be trained by the Holy Ghost. They have to sit up under a mantle. They should sit up under someone who's going to teach them, how to get out of that poverty mindset. And, of course, that particular person can't live in it as well, because you see a lot of that, too. You see a lot of leaders having a poverty mindset, not having a kingdom mindset. And then it trickles on down to the congregation.
Absolutely, absolutely, because whosoever you yield your members to, amen, they become the, you take on the identity of that individual. So we have to be so cautious, amen. We all make mistakes, but it really even goes down to man of God, and that is so awesome that you said that. You have to make sure that you're sitting under a leader that has the psychology of the kingdom.
Yeah.
See, and you said this earlier. You said people talk about I'm living in the kingdom. Okay, you living in the kingdom, but you don't have the mind of the kingdom.
Right.
And so we have to make sure that that individual is walking in the mindset of Christ. Amen. You know, they celebrated my birthday. They said, Pastor, all we've ever seen is you showing faith. Against all odds, you always stood. You need a leader to have the mindset of the kingdom, that no matter what comes my way, I'm going to be like Stephen. Even though you're stoning me, I'm looking to the hills. Jesus stood up. Amen. And told Stephen to come on home. So what I'm saying is, in spite of what it looks like, because we're not supposed to be looking at those things that are seen, like you said earlier, but those things that are not seen, we have to sit up under a ministry that has a kingdom mindset. That means that they accept the apostles, they accept prophets, they accept evangelists and pastors and teachers.
Yeah.
They accept nine gifts of the Spirit. They understand. See, let me tell you something. The kingdom mindset really started in the book of Genesis.
Uh-huh.
Because when you are kingdom, you reproduce after your own kind. And I'm going to say, and it might give me a little trouble, but if a pastor dies and the church shut down and all those people go to another church, that was never a kingdom ministry. Good
right.
God Almighty. Because the commandment he gave to the kingdom was that you are to produce, you are to replenish, you are to be fruitful and multiply. So that means in a kingdom ministry, we're raising up predecessors. We're raising up sons and daughters of the gospel, that when it's time for us to go like Paul, that we say, I have fought the good fight of faith. Who did he have? He had Timothy.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So a kingdom mindset produces after its own kind. So if the psyche of the leader is impoverished, and I don't mean that they're poor, because they could have a five-bedroom house and three cars, but their spirit, their psyche is impoverished, then you will see a church full of impoverished people with an impoverished mindset.
Uh-huh.
Because remember, we create after our own kind.
Yes.
And so when you're not fruitful, we got to go back and we got to check out the tree. Because if a good tree is not going to bear bad fruit, and a bad tree is not going to bear good fruit.
That's right.
So the thing of the kingdom is also, it's just so rich, man of God, and I'm trying to just take the nuggets. But a kingdom mindset also understands that I need to infect my region with my mindset.
Kingdom.
Let me teach you kingdom. And what happens is when you get the zeal and the fire, not fire for God, and understand and have a relationship, you'll be like the woman at the well. Come see a man that told me everything. Why could he tell you everything? Because his psyche, is he not the Christ? So when you have the psyche of the kingdom, it begins to infect. He infected the Samaritan woman. And the Bible records that she went into the village and called all the men.
That's
because
good.
The kingdom, and you heard me say it over and over, the kingdom should be infectious. We should be contagions of the kingdom. We should be making it so contagious and infecting people with the kingdom. Because that's what the Bible said. She went out, come see a man. And then she went to the village, and the men came to see a man.
Yes.
Who told me everything, who had the psyche. When you have the psyche, you could tell people everything about the Christ. And you bring glory to him.
Mm. That's good that you said that. That's good. That's good. Go ahead. That's good.
I just, man of God, you said something really profound. In Hebrews chapter 13, I was looking for it, around verse 7, Hebrews 13, 7, when you were saying about being under, you have to have to be under a covering or a leader that has the mindset of the psychology of the kingdom, excuse me.
Yes.
Hebrews 13, 7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Good God Almighty.
Mm.
The world says, I could show you better than I could tell you.
That's it.
And so what happens in Hebrews 13, 7, the writer here is saying, remember them which have rule over you. So now, number one, this is your leader, your pastor, you know, the church that you're in, who has spoken unto you the word of God. Now, they've taught you the word of God. They preached it, however they did it, whose faith follow. Meaning that after they taught you, you have to see some evidence of what in their lives. Good God Almighty.
Yeah.
So those that are saying they are kingdom, they don't have the mindset, because your faith has to follow, considering the end of their conversation. After they told you that they're kingdom, after they hooped and told you they were kingdom, after they conversed in kingdom, do they have the fruits following it? Because signs and wonders follow them that believe.
Mm.
It's Hebrews 13:7.
Yes.
And then it goes on to say in verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forevermore. So the same thing that we see in the Old Testament is the same thing that we should see, that we should have fruit. We should have evidence. There should be something following. Because when God created the earth, he created the herbs in the land and all that stuff, it was production afterwards, and then production and reproduction. And so after their conversation with you, after you've been to conference after conference, leadership training after leadership training, have they truly lived up to what they taught you? Because some can teach by the letter.
Mm-hmm.
Some can teach by the letter. But we understand that the letter killeth.
Right.
Because people can talk a good game. Anybody, theologically speaking, we could go into the deep theological truths and the contextual backdrop and all of that, and it will sound really good, man of God. But at the end of the day, it says in verse 7, consider the end of their conversation. Is faith following them? They say their kingdom, but I don't see nobody being trained up as a prophet. Because a kingdom ministry is a training ground. A kingdom ministry ain't just about the leader. It's not a one-man show. Because really, when you even look at the prophets, there were groups of prophets. You should have a team of prophets prophesying. You may not have it. Now, I'm not talking about those that don't have it. But what I'm saying, the mindset is, I am creating or I am cultivating an atmosphere to have teams of prophets to go out. I am creating a culture of training for pastors and prophets and evangelists. This ministry will have those that will be raised up to go forth. That's what I want to see at the end of your conversation. Yeah, you talked about kingdom. Amen. Exegeted the word. You exegeted it really good. But at the end of your conversation, when I come to your church, and I'm going, am I going to see a team of prophets being raised up? And am I seeing leadership training pastors with kingdom mindset to go forth? Do I see the people in your church advancing the kingdom? Do I see mission works going abroad?
Amen.
That's what I want to see at the end of your conversation if you say you have the mindset of the kingdom. And
amen.
That's what people need. This is what people should, when they're looking for covering, this is what they should look for. Chapter 13, verse 7 of the book of Hebrews.
Amen.
To remember them with that rule over you. Amen.
Amen. I'm glad that you said that. When you were talking about people talking a good game, I love when Paul said in his first epistle to the congregation of Corinth, when he said, "In my speech was my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God." And then he tells us, as he writes in Colossians 2 and 4, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." That's what's going on today. It's a lot of entertainment with the enticing words instead of operating in power and in the demonstration of the Ruach of the Lord.
Absolutely. And Apostle, I was just studying that the other day. And what I love so much about Paul, and just little tidbits I'm learning about him, amen. But one of the things, too, and I like the way he said it, and the reason why he said it, because from my study of Paul, even on this week, Paul, they said in the historical writings that I've been looking at, people were not so much impressed by Paul's preaching or teaching. Now, his Pauline epistles or his writings were outstanding, and they loved his writings, but to look at Paul was nothing to look at. So what I'm saying now is the condition of the church now. True, authentic men and women could come into the church, no hooping, no hollering, but I'm talking about revelation. I'm talking about literally God is giving you gold dust from heaven. Mm-hmm. And the people will not receive it because you're not coming in the charismatic package that they're used to. And that was Paul's thing. He said, "I'm not coming in excellence of man's speech," because, you know, he didn't, maybe he was not as articulate as the other great super apostles or the chief apostles, you know, and he was being sarcastic in one of the things I was studying, but he was saying, "I'm not like them, but you should respect me as one of them." But you're so, what he was saying was, you respect a fake apostle before you respect me.
Yes.
And, you know, he said, "I'm not coming like they're coming. I'm not coming with the hoop and hollering. I'm not coming with these words of articulating these words." And then the people don't even understand 88% of the words that you're saying. I call them $50 words.
Mm.
I call them $50 words because they were $50, but the people are we have to captivate. This is a revelation. A pastor is the watchman of what? Man's soul. God didn't say watching of their spirit. Ha! Good God Almighty. We have to catch a revelation, and it's so simplistic. It's nothing deep because the word is so simple, even a fool will not err with it. But we think about it. He didn't say he made them a watchman over their spirit. He didn't say he made them a watchman over his life. He said he made them a watchman over their soul. I have to watch over your soul. And if I can't, if God tell me, because you know what? There was a season God told me, stop laying hands and stop prophesying over the people. Because you'll create a culture of prophetic junkies. Every week, oh, pastor's going to give us a word. Amen? And so then what happens is there has to be some type of balance. But see, the people were not impressed by Paul. They wanted those super apostles. They wanted them chief apostles to come in, hoop holler, rake the people spiritually and financially, and leave. And now the people are now more impoverished. And I'm not talking about just their finance. I'm talking about their soul. What do you mean? Because now they planted a demonic seed in the soul of man. And because I am now the watchman of your soul, I got to go back and go through unnecessary spiritual warfare to uproot the lies of the enemy. But that's all we want. We want charisma with no demonstration. That's it. We want, because what it does, it tantalizes what? Our emotion. Our flesh is aroused. And I'm not being disrespectful, but it's true. Our
that's
flesh
correct.
Is being aroused by charisma. Because whatever we feed the most grows the most. So fleshly people, you'll find them in fleshly churchy environments and events. Yes, I said it. But truly kingdom-minded people will sit through a 2-3-4-hour workshop to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So what it's doing for me, and I pray even for leaders, those that are aspiring to be leaders or those that are on the line that are leaders, what it does, it takes a lot of pressure off of the leader when you understand to diagnose the person. We have to know which is God and which is not of God. I'm not saying you don't minister to that individual, because at the day of judgment, when they go before the Lord, they have to make an account that you did minister to them. You still got to speak to the unrighteous man. Amen? But after that, they have to make up their mind. Do you want charisma or do you want demonstration? That's what we have to say. Do you want charisma or do you want demonstration? Sit me in a workshop. I can't make you have a relationship, but I could teach you the fundamentals so that when you go home that you begin to increase and grow in God. Because a lot of things that we're... Well, you know what? A lot of people are making people waste their time. What do you mean? Name it and claim it. Grab it and drab it. You can't name it and claim it. He said, if you abide in me, this is the psychology of the kingdom. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you can ask me what you will. We're making sinners think that they can name it and claim it, and then that's it.
Wow.
Once you name and claim your deliverance first. And it comes from the leader, not the people. See, that there's a greater indictment against the pulpit. We're having altars. People, everybody come up to the altar and throw $100 at the altar. The altar was never a place to throw money. It was a place of sacrifice. It was a place of death and dying. When you come off that altar, now you can say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's a psyche. When I go up to the altar, I'm not going up to the altar to be rich in 3 days. I'm going to the altar because I know that my righteousness is as filthy rags. How many preachers you know would get up to the altar and lay out before God in a group, in front of the people? There's a greater responsibility. He even says that in the book of James chapter 3, verse 1. The one that teaches is under greater condemnation. Psyche. Whoever you sit yourself in, God, you just took it to another place. Whoever you sit up under, if their mind is not right, you will begin to take on that mindset. And what I have done, I have associates, I have friends, I love everybody. Generally, I will do anything for anybody, but what I'm doing is looking at people's, not you, but their relationships. Who are you connected to? Because a lot of times you could tell a lot about a person. Okay, I'm over here. I've heard this said, you know, oh, you pastor, seek first? Okay. And she'd be doing a lot of teaching over there. When y'all going to have a revival? Not yet. Because people understand, okay, then I'm going to be attracted to other people that have a kingdom mindset that want to teach the word of God with demonstration, with faith following, with fruit, multiplication. When people, man of God, and this is so serious, even when it comes to, you know, the relationship that I have with you and Queen, and when people yep. look at me, I'm going to be a reflection of who you are.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I could destroy your reputation indirectly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. I really feel and believe, you know, this is that season in which also as leaders, we really need to be very careful as to also who we cover this season. You know, I mean, because there are people who are out there just they're out there just to kill or try to kill the anointing that's upon you. And so they will tell you in a minute, yeah, the Lord sent me here because I, you know, you are supposed to be my covering. Then the very next second, you know, as soon as you rebuke them or things of that nature, and, you know, when you realize they don't want that kingdom mindset, you know, that they're not even mature yet, you know, or they haven't even faced reality. That's what I feel a kingdom mindset is, when you have finally come to reality and come to grips with, you know, with the kingdom of God. When you finally come to grips as to, you know, not so much falling into the metrics, if you will. I love that movie because things, you know, it's, you get such a revelation out of that because, you know, Neo was seeing things that, you know, okay, Morpheus, he saw a lot of things, you know, of course, because he was tapped in, but Neo wasn't tapped in, and I love how he was downloading things inside of him.
Yes.
My Lord. You know, he was downloading. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He downloads, and he gives us, you know, he teaches us all things. He teaches, you know, how to advance in the kingdom, but you have a lot of people who don't want to do that.
And you know what? And this, you know, I love Matrix. So we're going to just tap dance across this. But remember, Morpheus believed.
Yes, he did.
Now, when I read Hebrews 13:7, it says that, you know, the leader has to have faith following.
Uh-huh.
Now, Neo went to the seer.
Yes.
And she did not answer his question.
Uh-huh.
But because of the belief, because remember, him and Morpheus, you know, they were like doubting, back and forth. He was like,
yeah,
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
But then he had to get to a certain place.
Yeah.
And remember the pivotal moment when he realized that he was the chosen. This is so prophetic. He was the chosen. He actually was like, oh, my God, what Morpheus told me is true.
True.
And he shifted in his psyche.
Yeah.
And then now he became invincible. So what I'm saying, good God Almighty, we have to understand when we transition in our psyche, we become invincible. What do you mean? Well, Jesus, when he was preaching, remember the people were so angry, they were going to throw him over the cliff because they said he was blaspheming. The Bible records that Jesus walked through the crowd, the thronging crowd now, and they could not touch him. And Jesus went on to say, no one can take my life except I lay it down. When we understand the psychology of the kingdom, we become invincible. Amen?
Amen.
No one can take my calling except I give it away. Nobody can take my church except I give it away. No one can take my gifts unless I give it up. We become so invincible, we look Satan in the face boldly and tell Satan, you can't touch this. Because if, oh my God, if God be for you, if you understand, if you really understand the scripture and let it saturate the ground of your soul where your emotions and will sits also, then you're like, you know what, this ain't nothing. This ain't nothing but a test. This is nothing but a trial. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivered it out of, delivered me out of them all. Yeah, I understand. See, David had the psychology of the kingdom. Why? He said, I would have fainted if I did not believe what a man thinketh in his heart. I would have fainted if I didn't believe in my mind that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, too many saying they want to go home. You ain't done nothing. You're talking about you want to go in the by and by. God wants you to prosper right here. He understood. He said, I would have faith if I didn't believe in my mind, if I didn't have faith, if I didn't have a leader that I could look to.
Mm-hmm.
That had faith following. that after their conversation, I saw that they walked by faith and not by sight. I saw them not only declare, but they literally walked. They made the word of God a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. Amen? They were justified by faith. When God talks about it was imputed unto Abraham righteousness, the word imputed there means to be credited. I want to see if you got good credit. That's what the word means. It was credited to his account.
Yes.
Do you have good credit? He said it was credited unto him righteousness. Because we're justified by faith.
That's it.
But your mind got to walk by faith. Your mind has to surrender all. And I think I said last time, Matthew 10:39, it says that if any man lay down his life, he shall lose gain. And if he pick up his life, he shall lose it. The word life in Greek is psyche.
Mm-hmm.
If you lay down your mind, you shall gain it. But if you pick up your mind, you shall lose it. Because if you, when you go back to the parable in Luke chapter 12, verse 17, that's what the man said. He said, so let's tear down this barn and build it. See, what happened is he picked up his soul back. He picked up the mindset of the world. He was conformed by the things of this world and not ever letting his soul be transformed by the renewing of his mind. We have a lot of work to do, man of God. There's so
Amen.
Much work to do. The harvest is so plentiful, but the labor is few. But in this hour, one of the things that, and I've prayed, and you said it also, and that is so important. A lot of times, you know, and I've made that mistake, and I just be transparent, you know, ministry growing. You're like, okay, come on, come on. But I've learned not everybody is of the sheepfold. And, you know, and I had to learn the painful way. But you know what God showed me, man of God? And I think
yeah.
I shared this with you already. It's like anybody that's ever been in the medical field, when you get an organ transplant, if that organ is not compatible to that individual that's receiving the transplant, the body of that individual will literally attack that organ and shut the organ down. What do you say, woman God? It's the same thing in the body of Christ. If you are not of the body of Christ and you try to enter in illegally, the body will not. It will look at you as a foreign agent, and it will reject you and shut you down. There's people that have received kidney transplant, and the body rejected it, and they had to. It damaged the kidney, and they had to throw that kidney that was transplanted into that individual. And so what I'm learning in this particular ministry, you know, it's not just, okay, you come up. Are you of this body? Are you of this particular this location, this ministry? Because really, a kingdom-minded ministry, you know, it's like the kingdom-minded. Kingdom-minded ministry is not for everybody. It really isn't.
Amen.
It really isn't. Because a lot of people like to be their ears tickling. That's why Paul said to the church of Galatia, he said, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you would turn from what? The truth. People want to be enticed. Their flesh likes to be tickled. But when you're dealing with kingdom ministry, you're going to be made accountable. You're going to learn to grow. You're going to be put in a position to provoke to learn the word. I tell them all the time, you a prophet in this ministry, you got to know the word. Even in the Old Testament, the prophets knew the Torah. They knew the Pentateuch. They were able to, they studied it. And I always tell them other religions make mockery of Christendom. Jehovah Witnesses. Even my mother, she's like, you know, I'm the first one that she even could, you know, look at that even studies the word. Muslims, Nation of Islam will laugh at Christians because they know that they only read their Bible once a week. I have never seen so many people come to church without a Bible. Man of God, I know you've seen that. And I'm not talking about you were running late.
Oh, yeah.
You know that's an insult to God?
Mm.
That's your sword. Now, when you're a new convert, the pastor should work with you, a kingdom-minded ministry. But after a while, Paul even told the church of Corinth, he said, you should be teachers by now. I think it's around verse 5, 2 Corinthians 5, I believe. He said, y'all ought to be teachers by now, but I'm feeding you milk again. And it goes back to the psychology of man. You do not study the word so you could be a preacher. You study the word to have a relationship. That's why he said, study the word to show yourself approved unto God. It never said unto man. But too many people are studying the word to be approved unto man, that they can exegete and they can show off their homiletics and their hermeneutics and all that's good. But at the end of the day, like Paul said, I come with demonstration. A kingdom ministry should always exemplify demonstration.
Amen. I also love this is just so awesome, and you know, we can talk all night. Amen. And I wish we could. But when you read in the second epistle to Corinth, Paul writes, he says this. It's very powerful that he says this. He was saying basically in 2 Corinthians 5 and 13, if we are out of our minds, it is for the sake of God. If you are out of your psyche, amen,
yep,
you have just tapped into the mindset of Christ. But if you are in your quote right mind, that's for your flesh. So
absolutely, that's it. And this is the powerful part. You could tie that in with Isaiah when he said, "My thoughts are not like your thoughts," because when we go above the carnal mindset, we look crazy. What you mean? God told you to start a church with no job? God, no, that wasn't God. You better be working. You got to have 13 jobs. You got to do this, that, and the other. No, you have it. When we as apostles and those that have been called into the fivefold or into the ascension gifts, we have to understand that our mindset, our psyche is radical. It breaks all, it goes beyond all human barriers. I always tell them in the church, don't say it in this church, the sky is not the limit, because there is no limit in God. Because that sounds real nice, don't it? In the church, oh, the sky is the limit.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really good, but that's not a scripture.
That's not biblical. No, it's not.
That's not even biblical. And I can't remember, it's in Mark, I think around chapter 3, but he said there's no limit in him. His ways go above our ways, and his thoughts go above our thoughts. So the sky is not the limit.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible said that we could go before the throne room. So we could go into his presence. So we go beyond heavens and above heaven upon heaven upon heavens. So there is no limit. Stop saying the sky is the limit, because the sky is not the limit. There is no limit in God. And so when we begin to talk like that, that's foolishness, Paul said. That's foolishness. Amen. When we start talking about, when we start talking kingdom, it sounds crazy. And that is such a profound scripture, man of God. Amen.
Amen.
It's just crazy. When we lay our lives down, which is your psyche, you shall gain it, because what God is doing is giving you the mind of Christ.
You don't see a lot of people doing that, Apostle, because they're still compromising. They're still conformed. They operate in greed, you know, they operate in all these things. So that's why they can't even, you know, they don't want to let go, you know, of, as to how the world perceives the church to be. Isn't that something? It's supposed to be glamorous. It's supposed to be, fantastic. You're not supposed to do a lot of work and, things of that nature. So they have glamorized, you know, or they have Hollywood the Lord.
Man of God, I don't know how many, but I do know one place they will not ever have me back. But, you know, no, they won't have me back. Actually, the man of God came to me on the pulpit and told me, but, you know, how dare we come into the house of God during worship and sitting there and talking and laughing? Don't you know, oh, good God Almighty, but I'm telling you, he is the same God yesterday, today, forevermore. In this dispensation of grace, that if it wasn't for this dispensation, there'd be a whole lot of dead people right now. I don't even think we'd have 5 million people on the earth. We'd probably have only 1 million left. But
amen.
I really think in the realm of the spirit, I really think some people are dead people walking, meaning that they have a rope and a bell, and some of the bells stop ringing. Because after a while, the Bible declares that he is long-suffering, but there is no grace for willful sin.
Right.
I'm not condoning even one bad day. Okay, but he'll give you grace for one bad day. I don't condone you sitting there and chewing your gum, but you just have a nasty attitude because you're mad at your pastor. There's grace to cover you. But I'm talking about operating this willfully. He said, I'm not going to. The Bible says if you reject the truth, he will turn you, according to 2 Thessalonians, over to strong what? Delusion.
Mm-hmm.
Because your psyche has rejected the truth.
Yes.
You need to understand, this is a year of reprobation. Also, this is a year of great manifestation. But those that have gone to this year and still have rejected the truth, the Bible declares that he will give you over to strong delusion. Where the Lord said, who shall go? The lying spirit said, I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They better read that. That's in, what is that, 1 Kings, 2 Kings? Oh, yeah.
I believe, yeah, 2 Kings. And
Second
so
Kings.
What happened?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what happened. If your psyche, this is, you know, we said all this wonderful stuff. Let's talk about the backlash of your psyche rejecting the truth. And I'm not talking in the beginning because there's a lot of work that has to be done. And you know this, man of God, of restoring people's mindset. Women that are so insecure, they think the only way they'll get love is by being with the man. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking to those that are become stubborn and willful and are literally telling God, I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have what you have. Those psyches, because remember, in the soul sits the mind, the will, and your emotion. The word will is those that are willful. Willful comes from stubbornness.
Right.
And so those, and then the Bible says that witchcraft is as rebellion is as a witchcraft and idolatry is as stubbornness.
Yes.
Amen. Those that do not take that idol out of their souls, the idol of I'm going to have as much money as I want, I'm going to sleep with all the men that come into church, I'm going to do what I want, I don't care what pastor says, I'm not paying, I'm not going to give back to the community, I'm not going to do, because I have my leaders do community service, I'm not going to do, you know, whatever, and I'm not going to submit myself. So then what happens is you become stubborn. And when you don't get out of that spirit of stubbornness, then you turn over to strong delusion because you don't want the truth. You have told God in your action and out of your mouth, Lord, I don't want this. Because when the soul first comes into the kingdom, it is a lot of work. So I'm not talking about those that may take 3-5 years, because some people will take a little longer. And I want to say that us as leaders, we have to know when to, like that song says, hold on, and when to let go.
Yes.
Because as leaders, we want to say, oh, I can't let go. But even the Lord said, I wish that none would perish.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to identify. It's like a child. You hold their hand at 8 months, 9, 10, 12 months, 13 months. After a while, you let go of their hand. And that's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's work to do. You're sitting in the way. You're staying in the way of sinners. You're staying in the way of other people coming in and getting the same nurturing you got for the first 14 years of your life.
That is so powerful that you said that, because I knew someone, amen, in the ministry that was like that, you know. And you know, I was like, okay, here you are. You're 60 something years old, and you still need the pastor to hold your hand at 60. I'm like, you know, but you know, and you know, she was saying she was saved and sanctified, but you know, that's where, you know, the Lord was, you know, was talking about, as well as Paul was talking about, that spiritual maturity, that teleosis.
That's right. That's right. And man of God, and as a woman, I know some women get upset, and the emotional part of me would want to do that for people.
Mm-hmm.
But God has given me, one of the gifts that I have is the gift of wisdom. And God is really maturing me in this area. And I'm telling you, he gives me so many, you know, parallels. You know, when you come in, you know, he said in Peter, I think it was 1 Peter, 2 Peter, talks about, you know, giving the people the sincere milk of the word. We are to breastfeed the people the sincere, the pure milk of the word. And as they grow, you know, a child, when they start, you first start giving them milk. And I even did this, I preached a message called, Are You Lactose Intolerant? Because the church has become lactose intolerant. So that's why your teeth are decaying and falling out your mouth. But anyway, we're going to leave that alone.
Wow.
But what happened is, that's the message, are you lactose intolerant? Because think about it. When we, as it is in the natural, 1 Corinthians 15:46, paraphrasing, as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. So as you would do a normal child, you would breastfeed that child, and they said mother's milk is imperative for a child because it wards off sickness. It makes the child strong. It makes their immunity system build up. So the spiritual aspect is, when you first come into a kingdom ministry, we as apostles and as pastors and leaders, we begin to feed the people the sincere, in the interpretation, pure milk of the word. As we begin to feed you, your immunity starts to build up in the realm of the spirit. That means now in the spirit you become stronger. Your immunity is building up, so now you can avoid sin. And when the temptation comes, because there is no temptation that is common to man that God will not make a way of escape for you. But as your immune system begins to grow, it begins to ward off temptations, meaning that dude that used to call you 2 years ago, it don't bother you no more, because now I'm feeding you the sincere milk, the word. You're losing the temptations of the world. Amen. You're warding off sin now. Amen. It strengthens your bones, so now you can stand on your two feet. That's what the word does for the saints. You are to be able to stand on your two feet, and then you're going to wobble a little bit and fall. But I'm still there giving you milk because you need the spiritual calcium. And the more milk I feed you, amen, so things are beginning to get stronger. So now you're walking upright, amen. Now you're able to walk slowly towards me. Now you're able to walk at a faster pace. Then about 3-4, you're able to run. That's what we do. This is a kingdom psyche, even for the leaders. You cannot continue to have people at your tent that been in the ministry at 3 to 5 years. That is impossible. It will destroy you and drain you as a leader. And what you have to do is, like the psychologist does, take them in your office and have a little discussion. We are going to psychoanalyze your psyche to see what is disrupting your progression.
That's good. That's good. That's good, doctor. That's good.
And we should all, as leaders, have a doctorate in psychology, because what it will do is it will make our jobs, it's always going to be difficult, don't get me wrong, but it won't be as difficult, because as leaders we experience a lot of unnecessary warfare. A kingdom ministry should operate in deliverance.
Absolutely.
If you go to a church and you've been raped 13 times, and I'm exaggerating, or even molested, and you go to a ministry that does not operate in deliverance,
Mm.
I'm not even saying you're not going to make it in, but you'll never come into the full capacity. Because what you do, you take your relationship with that father or that mother that abused you into your relationship with God. And we need to teach you that there is no condemnation. That's what I did. When I used to mess up, when I first got saved, and I made a mistake, I stopped praying. God called me to be an intercessor, prophetic intercessor, you know. And so I would stop praying because, oh, God doesn't want to talk to me because I messed up, because that's how my father was. So we take these natural relationships, but we have to understand that there is no condemnation for them that walk upright in Christ Jesus. Your psyche says it is good that you're convicted, but you don't dare walk in condemnation. When somebody judges you because you're still struggling, you then can say, your psyche says, who can put a charge to God's elect? It is God that justifies me. Good God Almighty. You don't just quote scripture. You have the mindset of the Word of God.
Hmm. Oh, wow. That's awesome. Amen. You know, we're going to have to do this again. Amen. As, you know, our time is running out, but, you know, we are going to have to do this again. I love talking about, amen, the psyche, you know, of the Lord. Amen. Praise God for you. Amen. Is there any information that you would love to share with the people as far as how they can contact you and things of that nature?
The name of the ministry is Seek First the Kingdom of God Apostolic Ministry. Our website is www.seekfirstthekingdomofgod.net. The contact number is area code 305-316-3814. We will be in Jacksonville in the third week of May, and I do apologize, Apostle, I have to get the dates back to you, but
okay.
I will be in Jacksonville in May. That will be our first tour. I am currently working on a twofold project, the workbook and the book.
Amen.
Amen. I'm working even on getting it copyrighted. I just pulled the information from the government in reference to copyrighting that information. But I am currently working on the workbook, because in these workshops, there will be deliverance. It's not going to be your normal workshop, like you said earlier about Paul. We just radical. These workshops are radical in the sense that we're going to go through steps of deliverance, renouncing, amen, certain spirit. Renouncing pride, amen, renouncing molestation, renouncing sexual ties. So these workshops are a deliverance workshop setting. It's not going to be preaching and hooping and hollering. It will be strategic workshops to bring people to their full capacity, amen. I'm not so much going into a church in Jacksonville because we're not trying to start a church, but I want people to go back to their ministry and be an asset, amen, and not a liability. We have too many saints that are liabilities, and they need to be assets, but their psyche has not been changed, amen. So again, the number is 305-316-3814. You could go into www.seekfirstthekingdomofgod.net is our website. And so our first tour is in May, and I am currently working on a workbook, and we'll be able to put it online. Just give me another 4 or 5 weeks, and prayerfully I'll have the workbook completed in its entirety. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And we will, you know, if the Lord is willing, we will have you back. Amen. And once again, we just thank you so much for stopping by. Thank you so much for bringing forth a powerful and awesome word. And we will get together and do it again. Amen. If he is willing.
Amen.
So God,
amen.
God bless you. Amen. We love you.
God bless you too. And I love you all too.
Amen. Shalom. Hallelujah. That was, amen. That was Apostle Michelle Toussaint at Seek First, the Kingdom of God Ministries, and that is in Palm Coast, Florida. Amen. So, amen. I love you in spirit and in truth, and there's nothing that you can do about it except for you to do one thing, and that is for you to love me back, because God is love. And Yahusha said it in the word that Yahuwah is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. May God bless you and keep you. Shabbat Shalom, which means have a blessed and peaceful weekend in the Lord. Y'all be blessed and be safe. We'll see you tomorrow night, 8 o'clock p.m. with Apostle Burke, Sr. of North Carolina. Shalom.